Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Numbers chapter 6, and this is the law of the Nazarites. And this is a special vow that one could make before God in the Old Testament. And it was a time of setting themselves apart to seek God. And during the time of this Nazarite vow, you wouldn't cut your hair and you would also not drink of alcohol. There were also some provisions about not being around anything that was unclean. And, you know, back in Old Testament days when someone died and, you know, not knowing always what someone died of, it could be of a illness that could, you know, spread potentially. So once if you were around someone who had died, you would be considered unclean and would have to separate yourself from a period of time for others. If while you were having your Nazarite vow and you were dedicating yourself to God, you were supposed to stay away from those who had died. And if someone did die, you would, in your midst, you would break your vow, you would make an offering, and then you would renew your vow again and start over. Also, at the time that you would finish your vow, you know, according to Old Testament law, you would also make a sacrifice to God to commemorate the ending of your vow before the Lord. So this is something the Apostle Paul did at one time in his life. And so we see that he did it, again, one time we read about it recently as we went through the book of Acts. I don't think it's something specifically a Nazarite vow that needs to be done today, because this is an old covenant thing. It had to do with the sacrificial system as well that we no longer have. You know, Jesus is the once and final Lamb of God. We don't make offerings in that same way before God anymore. They also, for whatever reason, wouldn't cut their hair, and they would let the hair of their face and their head grow long, and that was part of the vow. I don't know that we necessarily need to do that today either. In fact, you know, if you look at some of the instruction Jesus shared regarding if you were fasting, as an example, you were supposed to not even make it really seem like you were fasting and not tell anyone and just do it to honor God. So in a way, the Nazarite vow, by letting your hair grow long and stuff like that, people would be like, hey, what's up? What are you doing? And it's not really necessary today. You don't have to necessarily show off or display that you are dedicating yourself to God. Now, with this said, I think there's something to be said for the general idea of separating yourself for God. And even more so, you know, gosh, for someone like me, I feel like if we were to take a time and say, you know what, for this week or this month or in this way, I want to dedicate myself to God. I want to set myself aside to spend more time with God, and to agree that you're going to do it this way for a certain amount of time. Now, I think doing it for a lifetime is great. Now, I'm not saying that we can't make a special season, but, you know, I've made it my habit and try to encourage, as you guys know, everyone I can to spend time with God every day and to read His Word every day. And it's been a long habit of my life for a very, very long time, you know, like 20 years. Now, were there days I missed? Yes. But, you know, now that we've done this, you know, podcast, and we're going through a 3-year Bible reading plan, and I'm accountable to all you, you know, I have not missed a day in, well, it's been about 250 days now. I think today might be the 250th day, or we're close to that. And you know what? It's been a blessing to me, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. And I hope those who gather around this podcast in the years to come will make a commitment to be with God every day and go through the Word of God like we are. And you know what? When I get done, I plan to restart it. And I don't know what that'll mean regarding teaching a podcast, but I do plan to read through the Bible again when I finish this time, because it's just become a staple of my life. And in a way, that's a vow before the Lord, and it's been really good for me and for the kingdom of God, I believe, to have that kind of a commitment. But back to the vow for a moment. One of the things that was talked about in this vow was not having anything to do with grapes, which would include wine. And it even does say specifically in this chapter, I'm going to read for you in verse 20. This is when the vow would be completed. It says, then the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. It is holy for the priest, together with the breast offered by waving and the thigh offered. This is the ending sacrifice you'd make. And afterward, the Nazarite may drink wine. You know, grape wine, or, you know, grapes are used to make wine. So part of this vow, you would not have alcohol. And I think that's a terrific thing as well, for anybody, but it could be for those who maybe are struggling with drinking too much too, or drinking too often. There's kind of two different problems with drinking, in my view. You know, one is drinking too much and getting intoxicated, and that's not permitted for Christians. You know, it's a sin to be intoxicated. But secondly, I think is drinking too often. And I think that's something, you know, the older you get, it can become a problem where you drink every day. And I don't think that's good. I think it prevents you from being in fellowship, because you're so used to drinking every day that then, you know, there could be a Bible study, you could get together with people, and either you need to make that about alcohol too, like a Bible study, or you just don't attend because you drink every day. And I really think it's not healthy to drink every day. And, you know, I think taking a Nazarite vow, maybe not specifically, again, an Old Testament Nazarite vow, but saying, you know what, I'm going to quit for a period of time. I'm going to take a month off. I'm not going to have alcohol, or whatever it may be. And you know what this reminds me of as well is Lent, right? Now, Lent is not really specifically in the Bible, you know, from Ash Wednesday to, you know, basically Good Friday, where you would, you know, give something up. I'm not opposed to giving something up, but, you know, in seasons past in history, I've heard of people, I'm going to give up candy, or I'm going to give up XYZ. It's not so much about giving up. It's about being dedicated to God. So how is what you're giving up going to offer more time for you to spend with God? And it really should be both. When you're going to make a vow or dedicate yourself to God, yes, it might include, maybe you give up social media. Maybe because you spend a lot of time on that. Well, instead, I'm going to read the word, or I'm not going to drink alcohol. Well, instead, I'm going to get connected to a Bible study. Or, you know, I mean, just giving up alcohol, I think it would be good in itself, but also adding to it something to spend time with God, that would, I think, be important. And, you know, fasting, if you think about it, say laying aside of food or drink for a period of time, it's good to do. But again, the purpose behind it is to spend time with God. It's not just giving it up just to give it up. You know, think of the time that it took. Like, let's say back in the day, you were going to have chicken for a meal. Well, you know, several hundred years ago, you might process the chicken, even kill the chicken yourself and pluck the feathers and then, you know, cook the chicken. And in fact, you know, I know that my wife's grandparents, who I knew and were Christian, they had a farm not far from us. And she remembers that being done, them processing their own chickens on the farm. It's kind of something, you know, when you see the little chicken running around after it's dead and the legs still run, you don't forget that very quickly. Well, anyways, that's not that far past. Well, the point is think of all the time that you save if you are not preparing a meal. You know, you don't have to do the dishes. You don't have to prepare a meal. You don't have to take the time to eat. You know, that saves a lot of time. But the key is, how are you going to use that time? If you're using it to dedicate yourself to God, then I believe that you're doing it right. And I think, you know, consider setting apart, you know, time for the Lord. I've had one leader in my life talk about a sabbatical for me. I've been pastoring since 2009. I haven't had a sabbatical. I've never had a time away from the church for an extended period of time to just be away and spend time with God too. And I think that would probably be good for me, as much as I love the church, to have a sabbatical. So consider that in your own life. What would the Lord have you do to be more committed to Him? And what could you give up and what could you add in order to be more committed to God? So I think that's how this applies today. And then as we get into the close of this passage, all of a sudden it kind of goes to a new topic, and it's an interesting passage. Let's read just, five verses. Verse 22, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them," and this is such a lovely prayer, listen to this. And God spoke this to Aaron to speak to Israel. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." The blessing of God. God's wanting to bless his people, Israel. And now, you know, we, the church, have been grafted into the family of God, and God's favor or blessing is upon us. But what a great prayer. The Lord bless you. May the Lord's blessing be on you, and may he keep you. May he hold you tight. And that's, you know, we sang a song about that at church recently, about God holding fast to us. And I would say this is a passage that would reference that. There's also actually in the New Testament, all the times that it talks about holding fast. It's a little bit different than keeping, but close are actually us holding fast to God all the way to the end. But here it's the Lord bless you and keep you. Hallelujah. Lord, look after us, bless us, hold us close, God, watch over us. And that's what I see in this. The Lord make his face shine upon you. That's the blessing and favor of God shining upon his church, those who believe in him. Hallelujah. And be gracious to you. Oh God, may your favor, may your blessing, may your grace and your graciousness be upon us. What a great prayer. And then it says, the Lord lift up, and actually the direct translation is face again, but I think they're right in saying the Lord lift up his countenance on you. It's the same word used in verse 25 where it says, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face on you again. And it's as though, like, the Lord's looking after you. He's watching over you. He's guiding you. He's helping you. He's giving you his grace and his blessing. And then it says, and give you peace. And what a great thing it is to have peace with God through Jesus Christ and what he did to restore us to a relationship with God through the forgiveness of sins. And the Lord is looking after his bride, his church. May his face shine upon us. Oh, Lord, be gracious to us, hallelujah, and give us peace. Oh, let's walk closely with our Lord. May he bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. What a wonderful prayer. Oh God, may that be something even daily that we remind ourselves that your face is shining upon us. Oh God, thank you. Hallelujah. And God bless you all.